We begin today with the story of the tired tomato. It's stunning to realize that on average, the food that you eat, that we all eat, travels 1,500, that's 1,500 miles from its farm to your plate.
It's especially astonishing when you think that we're recording this from the Green Mountain State with our rural hills and valleys that really are an emblem of who we are and what we can do here.
So it's time for Bold Ideas from Vermont. Let's get into it. Welcome to the Bold Ideas Podcast. I'm David Roth, here in the beautiful Green Mountain State of Vermont. And I'm joined, as always, by my friend and colleague, someone I truly respect, Meg Polite.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to our inaugural edition of Bold Ideas. It's so exciting to be here and to be talking about food and food security. And I know during the pandemic, this has been a challenge. One of the things that's been exciting here in Vermont that we've done is put up little pantries in our neighborhood for people that don't have access to food. So I just noticed that they've opened a produce section of ours. So people who are out and about gardening will have a place to leave anything extra that they grow out for neighbors in their area who might want additional food. And I love that about my community and my state. And I think we're going to learn about other ways today that we can address food insecurity.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. This past year has tested us all. People have wondered, where's my food going to come from? Where's the food going to come from this week? How do we get what we need for ourselves and for our family? Now, of course, in Vermont, our state motto is freedom and unity. What does that mean? Well, freedom. We are fiercely committed to freedom and independence, but we are as equally and as fiercely committed to each other. And as it relates to food and agriculture and food security and food insecurity, there is nothing more important now than ensuring that we have the infrastructure to make sure that no one has to worry where their food's going to come from. And that's what we're going to be talking about today with the Secretary of Agriculture from the state of Vermont.
Yeah, this year was hard on people around the nation. And I'm glad that we're talking about this, and we're going to lean into some of the things that we learned through this and that we've actually started doing, and then get a little bit more thoughtful into the future with the secretary in terms of where we can go. But for me, it's astonishing to know that where we had about 10% of our population being food insecure as a result of the pandemic, that jumped to almost 30%. One in four people not knowing where their meal was coming from or how they were going to feed their families. And like many places in the country, we jumped into action here, working with our food bank and with farmers to kind of get some of our local food out there to the people that need it.
One in four, Meg. We just need to let that settle for a minute. One in four people here in Vermont, a state that is defined by agriculture, has been defined by agriculture, will be defined by agriculture. One in four people had to get their food from a food bank this past year. Of any statistic possible, that defines a problem we need to solve.
And we did work on solving it in part in a way that I think really builds on our community and how we come together to address these things by having many people notice that one of the segments of the population suffering the most from this was children.
Food is life, obviously. And we need to make sure the kids at school are able to learn intellectually and able to have their body fed at the same time. Vermont is leading there, and we'll certainly talk about that. I think this is a perfect way, Meg, to begin now to get into the discussion with the Secretary of Agriculture, Food, and Markets for Vermont. Secretary Anson Tebbets, a truly remarkable individual who's a farmer, a cabinet official in the cabinet of Governor Scott here in Vermont, but also a very thoughtful family man who understands how important it is that we as a society take care of each other, live our freedom and unity motto, specifically making sure that everyone has enough to eat. Secretary Tebbets, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. I honestly can't think of a more relevant guest and expert with whom to launch our show than you. Right. As I've gotten to know you through our work on Governor Scott's Commission on the Future of Agriculture in Vermont, I have been so impressed with the clarity of your thinking on Vermont's agricultural sector and truly your calls, your very clear calls for actually what is the title of this show, Bold Ideas. It's one of the first things you said. We need bold ideas and actions to literally grow the agricultural sector for the benefit of all Vermonters. So Secretary Tebbets, again, thank you for taking the time to be here. Welcome, and I look forward to the conversation.
Well, thank you for your kind words. An exciting time. We've come through this pandemic. I think we're on the tail end of it. But through that, we've learned some things about agriculture and our food system. So I think its timing is right to take some bold action.
Well, Secretary Tebbets, you just exactly took the words out of my mouth relative to the way we should begin this conversation. It's a very broad question to start. But now, as you said, now that fortunately, thankfully, the world is starting to spin again, my broad question to you is really, what has this past year, this obviously unbelievable year, what has it led you to believe, or if you will, taught you new or helped you see differently about the state of agriculture in the Green Mountain State of Vermont?
Well, I think one thing right off the top is we realized early on how important food was and sometimes I think we may have taken it for granted. We may have taken it for granted that, you know, we were blessed. We can go into any supermarket, any co-op. We can hop online and we just had access to so much food. But as the pandemic unfolded, especially in the early weeks and months, we had some breakdowns of our food system. It was a sort of a national, international system. I think we discovered that maybe that's not the best approach, and maybe we need a more regionalized approach. And keep in mind, you know, our farmers and our producers, they're feeding us. And I think it was a reset. I think the public, in the back of our mind, we always knew that the public was supportive of agriculture. But I think it really highlighted how important it is to our everyday lives. And if something goes wrong, it was really exposed.
I think your point of taking food for granted, taking the food system for granted, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit, in a little bit of a deeper conversation, but that is quite profound, because I think everyone, whether you're here in St. Johnsbury or Cabot or Los Angeles or New York, suddenly over this past year, people for the first time in their lives, many people for the first time and others for multiple times, recurring times, had to worry about where their food was going to come from. It was, as you said, no longer just a question of going to get it. And that disconnection, and I know, Meg, you and I have talked about this, and I know you have a question about that disconnection from our food sources, absolutely, I think, was a profound wake-up call, Secretary Tebbets. I think that's exactly right.
When you think about it, when we early on, they were limiting how much milk we could purchase in the supermarket. Think about that. We've never experienced such a thing like that before. And we got more. It wasn't the fact that there wasn't enough milk out there. It was actually, you know, getting the milk to the stores and the breakdown of the system and distribution and so forth. But nothing irked more people than the fact that they were limiting the supply you could buy in the supermarkets. But also we were forced to dump milk because we couldn't get it processed because of what was changing in the world. So that was, I mean, that seems like light years ago, but with the signs going up saying you can only buy, you know, 1 or 2 gallons of milk at a time, that was a new experience that we've never seen before.
I think that's absolutely right. And to the extent that we were, well, how would you say this? I mean, these were unprecedented occurrences, right? So it isn't though that we could have prepared for what no one really imagined would happen. But hopefully now that we know it can happen, we're able to do exactly what we've been talking about and create more resilient systems for the future, because obviously future crises will happen.
Yeah, and you can take meat, for example, when we had some of the large pork producers, meat plants in the Midwest have to close. We saw that it's probably not the best system to have, you know, 5 or 6 giant meatpacking plants controlling the meat supply. We need more of a regional approach. And we also learned through it that it's been a push point where we don't have enough processing capacity within the state to meet all our demands at times, but it was really exposed where people returned to the basics of maybe being more comfortable going to a farm stand, They were more comfortable going to a farmer's market. They were more comfortable maybe ordering online. So all those things played a role and also highlighted the opportunities there for agriculture that are there now that we learned through this pandemic. But a regional approach, you know, Vermont, 600,000 people, that's not a big population, but we have big population centers around us, the New Yorks, the Bostons, Washington, Philadelphia. Those are opportunities that we can feed those regions with what we have in Vermont.
That's really interesting, Secretary Tebbets, and dovetails right into some of the things that I wanted to kind of talk about as we are learning from COVID and looking to the future. I think that there's other things that we could have learned from the past, from agriculture and the ways that we have adapted and risen to challenges over time. What are some of the learnings that you see that we've historically overcome and ways that they may be applied to the challenges that we're facing now and to the ideas that we're coming up with for the future?
Yeah. And, you know, we've always focused on quality, not necessarily quantity in Vermont. We take care of the land, we take care of our animals. And from that, there's a connection of producing a high-end quality product, whether it's, you know, Ben and Jerry's, whether it's Cabot Cheese, whether it's an artisan cheesemaker down the road that may be milking, 50 goats. We have butter makers in Vermont that maybe have a few animals, but they're supplying a high-end quality. And, you know, the Vermont brand is strong. You take maple, if you travel around the country, if you're in Los Angeles and you mention Vermont, 9 times out of 10, they may mention maple in that conversation on the street. They've never met you before, but they may have had some Vermont maple syrup knowing that. So quantity, we're never going to be able to compete, but I think we can compete in a national and a global market if we focus on quality and tell our story, what we have to in Vermont. And we have a great story to tell.
People really do love the Vermont brand and the Vermont name, the Green Mountain name. And I'm wondering if you've seen that desire on the other end. So not on the consumer end, but on the producer end, because I know, farming is one of those professions in Vermont and probably around the country where farmers are growing older and older. Are there ways, do you think, that we can entice younger people to get involved in farming, food production, working lands, activities as a way to sort of celebrate our culture and really share the importance of those professions, as we were talking about, like helping people to realize the importance of agriculture, the importance of food, where food comes from? Do you have ideas around that?
Yeah, and I think there is a lot of excitement from our young people in Vermont to get involved in agriculture and be entrepreneurs. The challenges that they face is the infrastructure, the cost, getting the capital necessary to make it sustainable and getting that going. We do have a number of groups that are working on that, setting farmers up, but getting that working capital, getting that financial planning. Because if you take value added, if it's a value added business, sometimes they're asked to do it all. You're asked to be the marketer. You're asked to, produce the product. You're asked to, find the business plan that goes with it. So it can become overwhelming for some folks to be an expert in all those pockets. But we need to provide them with the support and technical assistance if they need it, the financial planning, and give them a path forward. But there is tremendous activity, young people, whether they're growing vegetables, whether they're in maple, whether they're in a value-added dairy business. There's tremendous activity out there, but it's just a matter of getting that support they need to have a long-term vision so they can, live and work and play here.
Secretary Tebbets, you just brought up something that's really sparked an interesting idea. I think you and I talked a bit about this briefly, but I've been apart for many, many years of helping to organize and plan and sponsor venture competitions all over the world, really. But what an interesting idea to create a real venture competition, an opportunity for all of us here to help motivate and nurture and create the next generation of agricultural entrepreneurs. And you're exactly correct. If we're able to really incubate and then support and connect with capital, connect both with working capital, venture capital, those people specifically focused on agricultural entrepreneurship all throughout the age ranges, existing farmers, new newcomers to the state. That could be a really interesting way to not only attract capital for our agricultural communities, but attract more people into that sector. Has that been something that has either been discussed or that you think could have some resonance?
Yeah, through this pandemic, you know, there were a number of programs that were supportive in trying to fill in the gaps so people could maybe, survive and then maybe thrive down the road. But one of the gaps that we learned through the process was business planning, financial planning, setting up that company so it's set up properly so you can take advantage of whether it's tax laws or the corporation. Some of those things were gaps that we discovered through the granting program, you know, keeping those books that need to be kept, you know, so when you go to someone and you want to, you know, tell your story and possibly get some financing, it's there for them. So we learned that through the process. It's just financial literacy. And it's overwhelming, I think, because of sort of the way ag is, because when you think about it, you're asking to do it all. I mean, when you're growing the product, you're raising an animal, you're trying to get it to a market, you're trying to market it as well, and then raise your families as well. So I think it could be overwhelming, and maybe people can get four out of those five pockets, but it's that one pocket they really need help on. Maybe they're not good marketers, but they've got a wonderful product, they just don't know how to market it, and they don't have those skills. So those type of things I think we need to work on and give people the support and options down the road.
I think that makes perfect sense. It's just a fun fact, I know you know, but for people who are listening, that in Vermont, and you're absolutely right, so many interesting people doing such remarkable things. I guess the statistic is close to one in every 13,000 people in Vermont is a cheesemaker. And I love that. I love that, because not only is that so much a part of who we are, but it shows again, cheesemaking is a relatively high margin process when you look at the opportunities, but it requires, as you said, we require the markets and the know-how to move those into even greater markets. But I love the fact that our cheese maker per capita is so high.
No, and in fact, you know, that we have some of the finest, you know, Cabot, you know, started 100 years ago, and it's grown from that. And Cabot has supported a number of cheesemakers that have, you know, you take a Jasper Hill, I mean, they are considered, you know, world-renowned operation in the hills of Greensboro. And, you know, and their model is supporting other farmers. And, you know, we're looking at things like that. So maybe you don't want to make the cheese, but maybe you want to produce a high-quality milk for the cheesemaker and get it to them.
Yeah. Yep.
So they, you know, not everyone wants to make cheese. Not everyone wants to market the cheese. But there may be someone, hey, I'd like to, hey, I've got a contract with a, you know, I got 50 or 60 cows and I want to have a contract with a cheesemaker, and I'm going to deliver them a high-end milk to them so they can make the cheese. So those type of models, we talked about butter. I mean, Vermont has a long history of quality butter that used to go on the trains to New York City and the hotels down there. Do we need a Vermont-based grass butter that could be branded and marketed and help some of our farmers, because the commodity situation can be really challenging for a lot of our farmers as well. You know, some, like any other industry, it's consolidated, whether it's telecommunications, whether it's media, whether it's agriculture, there's been a trend to consolidate. They're forced to do it because of the cost of doing business, but there could be other models that we need to explore that could look at maybe a more regional or smaller approach.
Absolutely. And I know Meg has a question related to that, but just one point to piggyback on your point, and it relates to the Vermont brand. You're absolutely correct. And we've talked about this, and I know there's some debate and complexity around this, but there is no question in my mind that that Made in Vermont brand, whether it is butter or cheese or maple or multiple other agricultural products, it's really important that that be understood and codified and created in such a way that really brings value to the producers here, to the certainly small producers that are able to get those, to your first point, to allow us to be able to feed and supply the very significant urban metropolitan markets to our south, because people, they do recognize the Vermont brand and quality, but they will also pay that margin extra for that quality. And that I think is exactly to your point of how we need to make sure that is put together very strategically.
Yeah, and we talk with our farmers, and I think they understand now that they have to pay attention to things they've never have to pay attention to before in the past. You know, in the past, you could, you know, milk some cows and the co-op would pick it up and deliver it. But now the consumer wants to know more about that more about what they're doing with their land and how they're taking care of their animals and how they're cared for. And they've got to tell their story every single day of the week now. There's not an opportunity where they can't tell them what they're doing, because the consumer is driving some of the market now of, you know, you better take care of your animals and you better take care of your workers and the environment, or else we're not going to purchase your product. So that's something that's over the last decade they've had to take on as well. And many are doing it very well, and they just got to, it's exhausting for some, but they have to do it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the things for me that's shifted, and I'm sure you've seen the shift, Secretary Tebbets, and we need to do it much more, is really having the general public, both here in Vermont and around the country, not think about farming as farming and animals and food, but think about farming as a business. And really, in the same way that we provide supports for businesses and provide, you know, micro loans or community activity centers, processors, incubators, we need to be providing those same kinds of opportunities for businesses that are agricultural based. And for me, I see that so importantly here in Vermont, because our identity and a lot of our value comes from the fact that we're small, and we have this sort of vision of the small farm, right? Where it is a family farm and you can get to know the cows or the growers. And so it's impossible to create competition with a farm in the Midwest that's thousands and thousands of acres. So I'm wondering if you could share some ideas that you have, like some primarily some, you know, bold and new ideas that are either being implemented now or that are percolating in your brain about how we really get to that level of support for agriculture, sustained agriculture and agriculture production here in Vermont.
And I think, you know, one thing that we're trying to focus on is we're trying to give people options and choices. In agriculture, it can be really challenging. You know, for example, if I was to say, you know, we need to transition everyone to goat farming on a large scale, that's not possible. Or we've got to say one practice is the trend, like it's, everyone's got to go organic. That can't really be realistic, because there's so many variables involved. The land is different from region to region. We got 14 counties, and the land in Orange County is much different than the land is in Addison County or Franklin County. And then you've got family structures as well. You've got family dynamics and generational issues there. So it's very difficult to have one size fits all. So what we try to do, I think is important, is try to give people options, support. If someone wants to milk, you know, 15 Jerseys and make a special butter, we need to figure out how do we support them and give them the resources or the expertise they need to succeed. Or if someone wants to milk 500 cows, what do we need to do to support them for that? Or maybe they want to, you know, have a CSA or et cetera. Or maybe they want to be, maybe they want to have maple and dairy and so forth. So we've got to give people options, choices, and give them the information they need. And you're absolutely right. Agriculture is a business. And we need to have that mindset at all times that, yes, it is a way of life. It's a different way of life. But it also, at the end of the day, it's a business, and you have to pay your bills. And that's so very important as we move forward.
Well, that, Secretary Tebbets, that's quite, not only is that resonant, but I think that leads to really the last topic we wanted to make sure that we cover with you. And it's something we've all talked about. It's a way that we've opened the show. We talked a lot about food security and insecurity and what the past year has taught us relative, as you said, to the fact that we take our food for granted. And the past year has so dramatically affected so many Vermonters, of course, people all around the world. So I guess if we could, what do you think are the boldest strategies that we could literally begin to think about and or implement now to ensure that resiliency for the future and that Vermonters have food security now and next time there's a crisis? Our resiliency as an agricultural producer is so important, related to our own people, related to Vermonters, and our ability to do all the other things we've just talked about. So I'd love to just have you be able to give us those ideas that you think could make the most difference most quickly.
And I think some of the things, and I think things will happen. I think we were at a place, you take the American Rescue dollars that are coming to Vermont, and Vermont is blessed in one aspect that a population of 660,000 people. We're getting a tremendous amount of money per capita, but we are going to work on some of the core issues that need to be worked on. For example, being connected, broadband, that's agriculture. I mean, whether it's so much technology, it's involved in agriculture. If we're going to have young people that want to be involved in agriculture, they're going to want a cell phone and they're going to want to be able to talk with people. And there's many pockets in Vermont that are not connected. So that needs to happen. And I think it's going to happen over time. Water, sewer, infrastructure needs really, you know, it's not sexy. It can be kind of boring. But you can't site a dairy plant if you don't have the capacity to manage your sewer and your water. So those things are going to be taken care of. Climate change is important. There's going to be, you know, taking care of the land. Can we get to a system where we're going to reward farmers for, you know, carbon and what they're doing to benefit to the earth? So those things are going to happen. And again, financial planning, I think, is really, really important. Giving people the necessary tools to, you know, the capital, but financial planning, the support there, I think all will help with marketing. You know, how do we market Vermont in a strategic way so we can get it to some of those big consumer markets? Just a handful of things, but I think the time is right. I mean, if any time in our history is right, it is now, that agriculture once again is very important in everyone's lives. And the public wants ag and producers to succeed. They do. They want us. It's so part of what we do in Vermont. Our land, you know, our visitors, you know, they come to Vermont because of the open land, and it's in use. It's not burdock. It's being used in active production.
Absolutely. And you articulate it so perfectly. The history of Vermont is agriculture, and the future of Vermont is agriculture. And you're right. The questions that have been posed or that have been presented to us this past year, we do have the ability to address those issues and do it in a way that will matter. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate this conversation, Secretary Tabbetts. I always enjoy our conversations, but this is a very important one because it does matter. And these are ideas that can be turned into actions that will make a real difference to people. So again, thank you so much for taking the time. I look forward to all of our conversations, but I couldn't be more pleased that you launched this show with us. This is one of the most important subjects there is to talk about. So thank you.
Well, thank you and Meg for the conversation, and thank you for highlighting agriculture. It is important, and we got a lot of work to do, but I know Vermonters are not shy about working, and they're entrepreneurs, and we'll stay on it.
That's it. Well, thank you very much. We'll look forward to talking with you again.
You bet. Thank you so much.
So, Meg, that was an extraordinary conversation with Secretary Tabbetts. I think he's so thoughtful about these issues. And I was struck by three things in particular that he talked about. First, it's a bold idea, but it's also just a truism. We all have taken food for granted. I mean, if people who have been food secure and or food insecure, there's still been that assurity that somehow there was an ability to get it. The past year turned that all on its head. And his point is so right that not taking food for granted helps a few of these other pieces to come into play. That was the first. The second was how important it is that the agricultural community be able to engage in and be part of some of the entrepreneurial mentorship, incubation that so many other industries have been a part of. But as Secretary Tabbetts said, whether it relates to business planning or marketing, all of those pieces of the creation of a really interesting business and venture, those incentives and those opportunities and training opportunities need to be a much bigger part of what we do here in Vermont. And we can implement that. That's a bold idea that we can all help make happen. And then the third part that he talked about again is so much a part of this entire conversation that related to the money that's coming into Vermont from the CARES Act. Technology is agriculture. I love that point that he made. Broadband is agriculture. If we're going to be ensuring that farmers are able and people who are in the agriculture world are able to do their best work, get their best products to market, do it in the right time, the right price, ensure that they are connected, it's an interesting and important, really bold action to ensure that technology doesn't bypass the agricultural sector because, as he said, they are essentially one and the same.
Yeah, and just even thinking about how to make farmers be able to use their time more efficiently. I mean, if you have someone out, whatever, weeding your crops in a field, wouldn't it be nice to be able to send them a text and say, hey, when you're done, can you go, you know, check on the cows? Or, but with, I mean, you know how it is in Vermont. There's many places where that's not an option at all. And I think, you know, for me, one of the biggest pieces from this is to really, as I was asking, is really changing people's mindset to think about agriculture and farming as a business. And, you know, what I think is really unique and provides such opportunity, particularly with this topic and these ideas that we're coming up with, is the fact that the public is ready right now and is engaged right now in a way that may not be true on some of the other issues that we talk about. But as you said, like both witnessing that at the beginning of the pandemic, and then so many more people having to cook and prepare food and do things with food as a result of the shutdowns that we went through, I think, and being more grounded in their local community because we couldn't travel as much, I think has really opened people's eyes to what can we accomplish together? And look how we did this together during the pandemic. So therefore, the time is ripe for us to continue that. It builds on this freedom and unity, right? The unity part of Vermont, it builds on our small communities and keeping the green space there. And it builds on our desire for high quality, as you said, like really high quality over quantity, local, amazing Vermont products. And I find that such a great intersection of those different pieces and really an exciting way to look for what we might be able to do and what we will do as we move forward.
Absolutely. And that conversation is a great way to jump into really what this show is about. How do we come up with the bold ideas and implement them to make sure that we are truly making a difference and spending this time in a way that matters? And as we just discussed, taking the lessons of this past year and implementing them right now to make sure we are not only prepared, but are better able to thrive. That is truly what freedom and unity is all about at its very heart.
I want to thank everybody who joined us for our first episode and for listening with us. We're going to continue exploring agriculture and Vermont's history on our next episode in 2 weeks with a really amazing guest, Don Stevens, who's the chief of the Nelligan Band of the Cusack Abenaki Nation. So we're going to be looking at this from a really historical perspective up into the current time. So if you're listening, if you've enjoyed this, please subscribe to the show wherever you're listening right now, or you can always hit follow on Spotify. And please give us a rating on iTunes and help us grow and find more listeners.
If you have questions or thoughts, we're doing this for you. We're doing this to be able to bring ideas and to bring actions and inspire and spark thought. If you have questions or thoughts or comments, we want to hear from you. In fact, we need to hear from you. So please send us an email to ideas@boldideaspod.com. Very simple. ideas@boldideaspod.com. Send us your question, your thoughts, anything at all. And we look forward to hearing from you and being back with you, as Meg said, with a really another extraordinary conversation in just a couple weeks. Thank you again for listening. And remember to think bold. We have no other choice. Thanks very much. We look forward to next time.